heaven. And I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power.
Yes, I do.
But still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven.
Yes,
my grace belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from dead to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the everlasting Father. Our God will finish what He started.
Yes,
our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony. Grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony from dead to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done.
You're not done, you're not done.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. My story, I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony.
Oh, I'm alive.
This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to Youth Week 2021. We are so excited for this coming week. You guys can be seated. I'm just going to start up with a couple announcements here. First, just want to remind you guys, if this is your first time worshiping with us, we do have a connection card. You can pick one out back at the kiosk. Fill this out. Just has a couple easy questions. If you're watching online, there's also a Bitly link. Just help us get some information so we can connect with you. Also, just a quick reminder about our giving options. If you are worshiping in person with us today, there is a kiosk or offering box back on the kiosk in the vestibule. You can drop your offering off in there, or you can text to give or give online at the links up on the screen. I guess it's back there. And then also just a reminder, next Sunday, August 22nd, we do have a special missions service with Brother Hosmer, who is a missionary to Japan. So that'll be awesome. I always love mission services and hearing what God is doing around the world. Also, just want to provide you guys with some details about Youth Week. We're super excited. We've got events going on the rest of the week. Our theme this year is My Testimony. That's kind of been like a coincidental theme throughout the summer. Everything that we've done in Sunday school and at events has kind of come back to just this reoccurring theme of knowing our testimonies, really for two reasons. One, so that we can encourage each other, remind each other and ourselves what God has done in our lives. So when we're going through tough times, we can say, no, I know God exists. This is what he's done in my life. I know he's great. But also so that we can share our testimonies with people who don't come to church. So just reminding everyone, keep that in the forefront of your mind. Know your testimony. Know what God has done with you. Be ready and be willing to share that at any time. So that's our theme this year. Someone asked if we could sing the song Testimony before we even had that theme picked out. So it's kind of been cool to see that all kind of come together. If you are going into seventh grade and you haven't connected with me, please do so. Me or my husband, we do want to get you plugged in and connected with our youth group. It does run from seventh grade up to 12th grade. So if you're here and you have not come to any youth events, please do. We really want you to come and feel welcome. You can join us. We are sitting in the front couple rows. The most of us are singing tonight. Feel free to come join us tonight in the front couple rows as well as on Sunday morning. And then tomorrow night we do have youth prayer at 7 p.m., and then afterward, we'll be going out for ice cream. And then Friday night, we have a youth game night at my house. And then Saturday, there is a youth picnic here at church where family and siblings are all invited to come join us. And then our sectional rep, Brother Jordan Herman, will also be here with us on Saturday for our bonfire. And then also he'll be here teaching our youth in our 10 o'clock Sunday school, as well as speaking to the whole congregation at our 11 o'clock service on Sunday. So we're super excited about that. Be here. If you do not have information about youth events, please come talk to me again. If you're in 7th to 12th grade, I have copies of all the youth events this week coming up. We want everyone to be there and be plugged in. With that, Seth Merkus is coming up with a Move the Mission promo.
G'day, mate. How are we all doing in the house of God tonight? So, as Alicia said, I'm here to talk about Move the Mission, which was previously known as She's for Christ. Move the Mission supports a lot of different things. These include Tupelo Children's Mansion. They support, they fund Apostolic Youth Corps trips. They fund North American Youth Congress. And then lastly, they support Bible quizzing, too. I want to direct your attention to Bible quizzing for a sec. So, I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Nationals this year. Okay. We didn't do as well as I wanted to do, but we did okay, I guess. But I got out what I put in. We'll put it that way. But it brought back to me what quizzing's all about, memorizing the Word of God and hiding it in your heart. This year we studied the Book of Mark. So this year has really showed me how to be the servant king that Jesus was. Now to the juicy stuff. A lot of stuff happened at Nationals. At the prayer and share, it's called, they have all the last year quizzers come up and they give like a 2 or 3 minutes, like last minute, or 2 or 3 minute, like speech. So there was this one person there that was from Tupelo Children's Mansion, quizzed for 3 years, and now is off to the Urshan College. All three of which are supported and funded by Move the Mission in some capacity. And then there was another person there who recently lost a loved one, and then another person, or one of her closest friends, was involved in a really bad car accident, and the doctors say that he's going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life now. The jury's still out on that one because I believe that the real doctor has got a different plan in mind. One sec. Bible quizzing has been a constant support and constant, like, comfort in that situation and all the people involved in it. And then for a little bit of a personal thing, when I was praying, going around praying for last year quizzers, because they have all of them come up to the front, I was going around praying for them, and I had this one old lady come up to me and pray for me for a little bit, and then when we were done, she told me this: the Word of God is going to be a filter in your life. And I've held on to that ever since. And then, lastly, I also heard that someone who was just visiting got the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the prayer and share service. Amen. Bottom line of all this is, if you, the people, didn't give to put your money down in order to fund these kind of things, they wouldn't happen. Because of your giving, relationships are started, fellowship is had, people are called, backsliders come back, and most importantly, people are saved and added to the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you all to everybody here who has given consistently of your precious greenbacks for the glory of God. Our goal this year is going to be $16,000, and the final offering date is August 29th. You can give online, like the website's going to be cgcmadison.org/giving, and you can do it via text. The number is 608-719-3883. Or if you want, you can go out back over there, and you can put it in the box down to the left, my right, your left, I think. Again, thank you for your continued support, and God bless all of you.
If we can go ahead and all stand. We're just going to say a quick prayer. I'm so excited for this week. It's going to be amazing. I truly believe that these young people are amazing. I'm so proud of every single one of them. But we're just going to say a quick prayer and usher in God's presence in this place. God, we thank you for being here tonight, God. We thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, God. God, I pray tonight that you would just rush into this place, Jesus. That, God, that we would feel your presence like we've never felt it before, Jesus, the God. That we'd open up our hearts, Jesus, for whatever you have for us tonight, the God. I pray for our seniors as they bring your word tonight, the God. Anoint them. God, minister through them, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the God, we give you all the glory and all the honor tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Spirit is when you have lived, something has spread, tear down every lie and set the wrong thing right. Is when you have lived, something has spread, something has spread. The wrong.
nothing has to break.
I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. And I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it.
Worship him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail.
And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the
the enemy meant for evil.
Amen. And these youth are pretty amazing too. I love all of them so much and I'm so proud of them. Well, you can all be seated. I'm going to actually switch gears for just a second here. I want to take a couple minutes to thank everyone who makes this youth group possible. My husband and I could not do this alone. It really takes a village, takes a church. So I just want to thank all of our amazing, wonderful parents that bring all their kids to youth events, drop them off, brought them here for late night practice on Sunday. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. To any parent who has helped chaperone an event or drive youth for an event or brought food for an event, literally anything, we appreciate you guys so much. We don't say thank you enough. So I just want to say thank you to you guys. Also, thank you to anyone who's hosted a youth event at your house. So many of you have graciously offered your bonfire pits to all of our young people, and we really appreciate that. If I start naming people, I'm going to forget people. But Novak's, Neesum's. Brittany Waters, my parents, there's so many people who opened their homes to allow us to have youth events and have huge bonfires. So thank you so much for that. And also, I want to say thank you. She told me not to do this because she's my sister and she said it'd be awkward. But it doesn't matter. I want to say thank you to Justin and Sarah, if you guys could come up here real quick. Come on. We truly, truly could not do this without these two. They are at, I have this for you guys, they are at every youth event, the helping chaperone. Justin's always playing basketball. They really pour into the young people, and we truly love and appreciate both of them. And Sarah also helped me, she actually completely organized all the music for Youth Week, did an awesome job coordinating everything. We love and appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for all that you do. You guys can be seated. Thank you. And next, this is the bittersweet, the moment that I've been looking forward to, but also dreading. Tonight, our seniors are speaking to us, and I'm so excited to hear what they have to say. It is bittersweet because we have an incredible group of seniors this year. They are awesome. Every single one of them truly is a leader in our youth group. They've stepped up. They participate in discussions. Every time we have a discussion with this youth group, I'm like blown away. Like sometimes we have Sunday school and I'm like, I have 10 minutes of material. And then like they just talk and have a discussion and it blows my mind. They are amazing, especially our seniors. You guys have really stepped up to the plate this last year and I'm so proud of you. I'm feeling very old tonight because we have three of our seniors speaking tonight. And of the three, I've babysat two of them when they were kids. And the other one flat out told me I was old on Sunday. And I won't name names because they know who they are. And one of the kids I babysat joined up with their sisters and used to chase me with Nerf guns. Yeah. And another one used to put on American Idol shows with their sister. You guys know who's who? Margaret, you don't chase me with Nerf guns anymore. Thank you. And Ryan, you're welcome to sing anytime. Put on another show. Sing for us. That was long. Honestly, that was more Kate, but I definitely remember you participating as well. And Clayton, I forgive you for calling me old. But anyways, it is my honor first to introduce Miss Margaret Aka. If you don't know Margaret, Margaret is an incredible young person. She's leaving us to go to Blake College, but I know she'll be back. Margaret is an incredibly talented author. An incredibly talented musician, singer, pretty much everything she does, she's amazing at, including Scrabble. That's the only thing that's good about her leaving the youth group is I might stand a chance at winning at Bananagrams. Maybe. Unless she's trained other people. But anyways, thank you, Margaret. Share your heart with us.
I have a few short testimonies that I want to talk about. I don't know how to start this. This is really awkward. So as I've become more spiritually mature in the last few months, I'm able to look back and see what God has done more clearly. As for my testimonies, I've never done anything bad, in many of the amazing testimonies you'll hear. I've never had my life completely changed around in one go. For me, it's been more like a slope as I get closer and closer to God. And there have been hills, there have been deeper parts, but I feel like I've been closer to God right now than I have in my life. And I'll be talking about my endeavors of the college I'll be attending this year, actually in T-minus 6 days, to be specific, and how this all happened. And to answer the questions I'm asked all the time, I move in on August 17th. Yes, I'll be living on campus. Yes, I'll be attending the church there for the most part, but I'll be coming back here every once in a while. And Abby or Pastor Phil, please take me off the music schedule because I think I'll be involved in that church, but I'll still come back. The area of study that I want to pursue is creative writing and education because I want to learn people how to write and grammar good. That's exactly why I'm going there. And as for the last question, Beloit is a city right on the border of Illinois. It's just about an hour south of here, so I won't be too far from home. And as another disclaimer, I talk really fast because I'm a Bible quizzer, so I have to fit an hour of notes into a 5 spot. So to begin, last summer I was grudgingly searching for college because my mom said I had to go to college or she'd kick me out. I wanted to get a creative writing major because I wanted to get a creative writing major because I'm writing a book, and writing a book with a creative writing major is basically a free ticket to finish books and make money. But so I found Beloit College, and it stuck out to me, so I took a tour, and the campus was beautiful. I immediately fell in love. So I prayed about it, and I told God I really, really wanted to go there, but if it was His will for me to go somewhere else, that was fine. I toured another private college and applied for that one. And then I applied for Beloit, and I applied for a state school. But I really, really wanted to go to Beloit. So I prayed constantly about it, using the same phrases in my prayers of, I believe, and by your will, God. And I kind of left it at that. And sometime in November, God spoke to me after Wednesday night service. And I remember so clearly He said to me, Beloit is in your hands. And by this time, I hadn't found out if I had been accepted into the college or not. It was pretty much a confirmation, but I still wanted to keep that faith that I would get in. And I kept on praying about it. Because faith without works is dead, according to James 2:17. So I kept praying about it, and then in December, I got an email from my high school counselor congratulating me on getting into Beloit. And I kind of sat back in my car and said, thank God, because I'd been praying about this so fervently for the past few months. And I got accepted into the two other colleges, but I had to write them a breakup letter, which basically a little tab on the website saying, stop sending me emails about attending your college. I don't want to go. Because God had called me to Beloit, and I eventually found out why. And as time went on, I thought about it here and there, about starting a CMI chapter in Beloit. I never really prayed about it, but I did voice my concern to God about how I would be the only UPCI student on campus and how I was nervous that I would have to do this thing alone. Where would I start? And this eventually would become clear to me. In April, the week before Easter, I was invited to a group chat on Instagram with a few students who would be going to college with me, students who were in the class of 2025. So I went along with it, introduced myself and such. And a few days later, the person who had created the group chat, Rebecca, posted a video on her Instagram about this youth convention she was at. And I originally thought that she was with another denomination, but the video showed Victor Jackson preaching at this youth rally. And so I immediately messaged her back, is that Reverend Victor Jackson? And she replied, yes. And so we kind of geeked out about it a little bit. And then I told her, I didn't know you were an Apostolic Pentecostal. And she told me during 2020, she had kind of backslidden from God during the pandemic. She had attended a UPCI church and was about to go on an AYC trip, but quarantine kind of hit her hard. And she didn't feel the touch of God until she was pressed to attend this youth convention. And she was refilled with the Holy Ghost at that youth convention, thank God. And this youth convention happened around the same time that we met. And God had aligned our paths in such a perfect way that she would come back to God just a while after we met, right before we would start preparing to go to college. And I'm glad to say that we both want to start a CMI chapter in Beloit. That is the story that has stuck with me. that I keep on reminding myself of, wow, God is so good. And it still blows my mind how perfectly he lined up everything. Then I have just one more thing. Hopefully I'm not going too long. Then just recently, as of the past couple of weeks, on my Instagram, I reposted the Wisconsin Youth Ministries event of the Move the Mission closeout rally on August 27th in Parkway. I told all my Beloit friends, I know about 100 of them from my class, that I had 3 available seats in my car if anyone wanted to come with me. And I feel that like this was a God thing because I felt the need to pray over it before I posted it. And soon after, one of my friends, Sam, who's going to college with me, who I basically adopted as my friend because he said that he was interested in the Wheel of Time series, my favorite American fantasy series, which is, yeah, it's pretty awesome. So Sam messaged me back and said that even though he wasn't a Christian, he'd like to attend this event, and that he said that he'd been looking for a faith for a long time. So I said, of course, and I told him that if he had any questions about my faith, that he could reach out. And I believe that God is going to do something with that, because I prayed and something did happen. It's the little thing sometimes, a little prayer of faith that will turn into something awesome. As I head to college in the next 6 days, I ask for your prayers. I feel like I'm walking straight into a lion's den, but I know a God that can shut the mouths of lions. And if he's done it before, he can do it again. I know he will make a way for me to make a difference on my campus. I've already claimed authority of it in Jesus' name, but to claim power of it, I have to make a difference in each student's life. I know that God will only give me more testimonies of his goodness in my life while I'm there. And I pray for boldness and wisdom as I go to campus soon. But I know that God will be with me. He has put me there for such a time as this. Thank you.
Margaret, you are awesome. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to try not to cry. And next, I have the honor to introduce Mr. Ryan Rivest. He's going to come up and share his heart with us. Ryan is an awesome young person as well. If you don't know Ryan, he is at every youth event. He always has a good attitude. I don't think I've ever heard this kid say anything negative. Always has a good attitude, and he's always there, always having a good time. He's also one of those kids that anytime we have a discussion, you know if Ryan starts to talk, it's going to be something profound. I remember what you said Sunday, but I was like mind blown. He's an awesome young person. I'm super sad to see him leave the youth group. Ryan, we will miss you, but share your heart with us.
Thank you guys for what you guys do for our youth group. And I don't know, you guys are the best youth pastors. I'm also very proud of Margaret and Clayton, the two other speakers here tonight. They've grown a lot in the last year or two. I've grown up with them in this youth group, and I'm excited to see where God takes them. If you may have not already figured it out, this year's Youth Week theme is testimony. In these last couple of months, I think Alicia has already mentioned this a little bit, our youth class has been discussing and talking about what it means to be a Christian and how it can be better witnesses or bearers of the good news, because that's what the gospel really is, the good news that Jesus is risen and he has paid the price for our sins. So when we were discussing these things, two things kept coming up, like Alicia said. One of these things was love. The best way you can witness to someone is to show them the love of God and just to be Christ-like, which is what it means to be a Christian. That's what being a Christian is all about, striving to be more like Jesus Christ. The other thing that kept coming up in our discussion was testimony. A lot of times, people we try to witness to, who maybe will be atheists or a different religion, or maybe just not believe the same things we do, they like to reject the doctrine we try to tell them or the scriptures we try to show them, because they just don't want to hear it. they might say, "I don't believe in the Bible," or "I don't believe in God." For some people, the moment you bring up religion in the Bible is the moment they're going to instantly discredit whatever you're trying to tell them or whatever you're trying to say. So for some people, the Bible, it's kind of
it's kind of a difference for some people. For some people, the Bible is just what people need to hear. My dad is a living testimony of that. When he first came into the church, he grew up in a different denomination. But when he first came to the church, long story short, he was taught a Bible study. And the first thing that stood out to him was this scripture, John 3:3, which says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see this kingdom of God. He was so shocked by that scripture, and it stuck with him because he had never heard that scripture before. Even growing up in the church, he had never really been taught something like that important. That's kind of how my dad came to the church, thank God. So that shows you the Bible is important, and a verse can change someone's life. I don't think Pastor Simon or Brother Roy is here, or Pastor Roy is here tonight, but I believe they preached a message. Oh, hey, Pastor Roy. Love you. I'm not sure if this was you or Pastor Simmons, but you preached a message on fishing. I believe it was called We Are Fishers of Men. And I remember that message partly because of all the props up here and all the fishing gear. I still remember that. But also because it was a good message. And they talked about how when fishing, you have to use different lures and different tactics to try to catch different fish. Because not all fish are the same, and it's the same thing for different people. Everybody's different. Everyone's going to take something different to get them into church or just to witness to them. So that was a very powerful message that stuck with me. A lot of people are just waiting to be shown the truth. Like Clayton recently said this in one of our youth classes. For every one person that rejects the truth, there are 10 people more that are just waiting for you to invite them to church. That was awesome. we have to remember that there are people out in this lost world that are desperate for a drop of truth. They're silently crying out for something worth living for and for purpose. We have to remember to actually love these people and to have a burden for them. Some fish aren't easy to catch. There are many people that may try to deny your religion. They may try to reject the scripture you try to show them. They may try to reject your doctrine, but they cannot deny your testimony. Right. Can I get an amen? Sometimes the best way you can witness to someone is to show them your testimony and show them the things that God has did for you, has done for you, and show them the things that God has brought you through. Because if God can do this for me, He can do it for you. If God can heal me from this, He can deliver me from that, He can keep me from these things, He can do it for you too. And they may relate to that more, and they may hit their heart more. If God can forgive me from this, He can forgive it to you. I wasn't sure if I was going to say this, but has anyone here ever run from God before? I mean, I have. I mean, this last few months or this last year, I've been kind of in the COVID backslide, I guess you could say, like Margaret's friend. I mean, recently I've been doing better, praise God, but I was running from God's calling, and I think it was at that, there was a Move the Mission rally. God just really changed my life at that rally because I really felt God just moving me and His presence just touched my heart. I think I'm always going to remember that moment because I felt a burden for lost souls and I felt a calling, honestly, for lost souls and to pray with people. That was awesome. That's why it's important to have a personal relationship with God and have a personal experience with God. I remember when our youth leader, Kyle, shared his testimony up here. I think that was a couple years ago now, which doesn't feel like a couple years. they became the youth pastors then. And He talked about how he grew up in a different denomination church, and he has told us about it multiple times. He has told us about when he came to this church, he really noticed a difference, and that difference was a love that he felt from this church. And this is why, as Christians, we need to mimic the love of God, because people will feel that love and want that love and want to experience that for themselves. And I'd like to read a verse. Oops. Maybe I didn't put it in here. Oh, yeah, I did. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Your testimony is a powerful thing, and it can be used to witness to other people that are struggling with the same thing, and it can be used to encourage people going through the same thing. You may be going through a trial or tribulation right now that will later become part of your testimony. It is so hard to understand why God is putting you in a storm when you are going through that storm. When you look at the apostles and what they went through throughout Acts and throughout the Bible, it kind of belittles the kind of persecution we face today. It's easy to read about the things that they went through, but to live through it would be a whole different story. Nearly all the disciples were in prison or beaten multiple times. For one example is when Paul prayed that an evil spirit out of a fortune teller when they were on the road on the way to their temple. The fortune teller's owner did not like that because that was a way of making money, so they had Paul and Silas put in jail. They were beaten and then put into an inner cell and bound with shackles. Now, if I was in that situation, I would be questioning why that happened to me and why I had to go through that. And I probably wouldn't have been happy with God if I'm being honest. I would be like, I don't understand this, God. But as we read in the Bible, it says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God when they were in prison. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake that shook the foundations of the prison. I read that wrong. But at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" See, during that time, I don't know, it might have been a few days even, they were in prison. They probably were mad at God, questioning why they were in there. What was the point of this? Why do I have to go through this? But they stayed and worshiped God in the storm. That is very important. Despite Saul's and Silas's circumstances, they still worshiped God. And an earthquake opened up all the doors and undid the shackles. Because they not only trusted God with his plan for them, but they worshiped God when they could not see how any good could come out of the situation. They got to be a witness to the guard and many of the other people in the jail that would not have otherwise heard the gospel from their singing and their praying. Let's see. It may not seem like God has a plan for your situation. You may feel like God has abandoned you in your situation, but if you trust God and worship him in the storm, he will make a way out and give you a testimony that you can share with other people.
I believe Ryan told me he was going to wing that, and that sounded pretty prepared to me, Ryan. You're awesome. I'm so proud of you. next up, we have Brother Clayton. Clayton, I don't know who's going to open Sunday School in prayer every Sunday now that you're leaving. Always the first volunteer. Always the first to jump in any discussion. Clayton, we're so proud of you. I'm excited for what God's going to do in your life. If you want to come up and share your heart with us.
It's an incredible honor to be up here right now. throughout this youth week, I was kind of thinking about, like, what should I say? I know the title of our youth week is My Testimony, but I really didn't know what to say, honestly. I didn't know where I should go with it, and it was really a huge struggle for me. But if you don't mind, I just want to preach a little bit tonight, if that's okay. Growing up, I struggled with a lot of things. When I was younger, I struggled with the skin sickness. And it's one thing to have something that you can cover up, that you can hide, but it's something else entirely when it's something that everybody else sees. It's a different level of boldness. I struggled with the porn addiction when I was 12 years old, and it had a gripping effect on me when I was younger. I struggled with anger problems, and although I was born and raised in church, I come from a broken home. And when I was younger in youth, I had a lack of identity when I was younger. I really couldn't find myself. I couldn't find where I belonged, and I didn't really know who I was and what I was supposed to do. I was in quizzing from 2009 until 2015. I quizzed with Seth. I quizzed with Margaret. I quizzed with my brother. And for a long time, although my teammates and I, we had great success, I forgot about the God behind the victories. I forgot about the God behind the medals, behind the trophies, behind the ribbons. I forgot about that God. See, in quizzing, they say, you know, hide God's word in your heart, as Seth said. But for so long, I hid it so far inside of my heart that not even I could see it. I couldn't find it. I ran from God in high school. I didn't start the P7 club that I was supposed to start. And it was out of sheer fear. What do other people think? What do other people say? I would go to youth events. I would go to winter youth. I would go to youth camps, but I would have a relationship with God there, but I wouldn't be able to take that back home. I struggled with it. In February, I had placed my identity in a relationship I didn't belong to, and slowly but surely, when that relationship was over, I had lost my value. I'd lost where I belonged. But see, I found my value when I found Christ. I found my value when I was in the wilderness. I found my value when I had realized what eternal value was, where I needed to place myself. I felt alone in the wilderness, but see, you have to be alone in the wilderness for you to find that relationship with God, for you to hear that still small voice. You have to be. Because let me ask you this, if you hadn't gone through what you went through, would you be serving God the way you're supposed to? You wouldn't. I'd felt alone. But I had found my purpose slowly but surely. I'd found my walk with God. I had built up the spiritual boldness to speak to my youth group. Pastor Sandin said it best about a year ago. He said, you need to accept God's mercy and grace, although we don't deserve it. You have to accept it. Proverbs 6:6-6:8 talks about ants. And as a church, we are very much like ants. No one greater than another. Pastor said it best when he said, just because I'm on this platform doesn't make me better than you. You have to have respect for spiritual authority, but you have to do your part for you to prepare for the harvest. He talked about the vision of all these people being lined up to be baptized. We have to do our part to prepare for the harvest. Proverbs 6:6-6:8 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer. Proverbs 30:24-25 says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So you have to prepare for the harvest, but you also have to do your part. We have our unique variety of testimonies, yet unified variety of testimonies, which brings us together. And although no one person is like the other, we are unique and fitly joined together. We're not called to convict. We're called to convey the gospel, because this gospel isn't enough for just me or for just you. It's enough for everybody. And I don't know about you, but when you learn that other people don't necessarily like you or love you, you learn the compassion of Christ when you learn the love of Christ. We have our own ministries. We have our own outreach programs. We have our own connection groups. But you have to do your part. You have to go to those connections groups. You have to be committed. Young people that are going to be in youth next year, you know, after me, Ryan, and Margaret are gone, and Cassie too, start that P7 club. I get it. Extracurriculars are fun. It's fun to be in volleyball. It's fun to be in soccer and football. I get that. But the eternal benefit that you won't understand until you reach heaven is absolutely worth it. But you have to be committed. Don't do what I did. Don't stand back, because once you're at a standstill with God, it's easy to slide out the back door. It's easy not to come to church, because when you're not outside of your comfort zone, you're not moving. Let me tell you something. If you have time to bless. Time to bless somebody else. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You have to put God first in your life for you to actually have value, for you actually to have purpose. Purposeless life, Pastor talked about it a while ago. A purposeless life isn't a life worth living. See, there's one thing suicidal people have right, and it's that there isn't a point to life when you're living for yourself. When you live for something above, that's when it's absolutely worth it. Don't stay at a standstill. Be available, but remember who your champion truly is for such a time as this. You need to be involved. You have to be available. You have to have respect for spiritual authority. You have to. God can't use a prideful heart. He can't use selfishness. He uses selflessness. Because if Moses hadn't trusted God in the wilderness, there would have never been the parting of the Red Sea. There would have never been the burning bush. He would have never seen the greatest miracles that the Bible records. He had to trust God in the storm. He had to trust God in the storm. Be available, but remember who your champion truly is for such a time as this. Thank you, and God bless.
Didn't they all three do an awesome job? Let's give all three of them a hand. Way to go, guys. You guys did awesome. If we could you guys are there. Perfect. That's what we need. Go ahead and play. I'll get a personal for just a moment. I sat here watching the three of you speak, and God reminded me of when I spoke at Youth Week. And boy, was I bad. You guys are so good. I'm not joking. It just reminded me how bad it was. Awesome job. Seriously. Seriously. 2 years ago, before COVID, I live in Marshall, Wisconsin, just northeast of here. A number of families do. I had two little girls that were going to the ELC, the Early Learning Center. That's grades 4K, K, 1, and 2. And they have this thing that you've probably heard about called See You at the Pole. And I said, I want to take my daughters to this. I want them to be an example. So I took them, and we got there super early. Like, because you're supposed to do this. There's a time on the website. Like, you know, it's supposed to be, 7 a.m.? Like, the bus doesn't even show up till like 8. So I drive them over there. We go to the ELC pole, and we're standing there, and there's not a single person there. And so we prayed. It wasn't fancy. I'd love to say that like there were tongues and fires and people came flying out of their homes and got the Holy Ghost. Didn't happen. So we prayed. And I said, there's got to be another flagpole in this city. Let's go to the high school. So I drove my daughters to the high school. And Margaret and Olivia were sitting at a bench next to the flag. You don't know the little things that you do that are testimonies to somebody else. I don't know why you were there. I don't know if you had a big tongue talking and everybody got the Holy Ghost right before we got there. I don't know. But you were an example to my daughters. And what I heard from all of you tonight, the three of you, and I bet you if all of you came up here and shared your testimony, you'd have something pretty cool that God's done for you. How many people can remember 5 times in their life? We'll start with the youth, but if you want adults, you can raise your hands. How many people can remember 5 times in your life where God either clearly spoke to you or moved in a situation or provided for you? Yeah, okay, that's okay. It's okay. How many people can remember one time? One time. You mentioned something, right, Ryan? You mentioned any youth just recently, a service, right? Clayton, you mentioned where God spoke to you. You mentioned a testimony with you talked about Beloit. You're like, this is clearly God. I felt it. Alicia started the service, and I'm not neglecting them. We're going to make sure they get their round of applause on Sunday because they're awesome youth leaders. But Alicia started. There we go. Let's just clap anyway right now. You guys don't see all the stuff behind the scenes. They do an awesome job. Alicia started the service, and people have alluded to it, right? And you spoke about how my testimony is for my friends and my, we can build each other up. And my testimony is for the lost, because we're here to win the lost. Can I add one to that tonight? My testimony is for myself. My testimony is for myself. That time when God spoke into my life was for me. And too often God speaks into your life, young people and adult people and children. God speaks into your life. He moves in your life and you are touched and you are blessed and you go get caught up with life and you forget it. You forget it. And you go to Beloit and things go poorly. And nobody shows up to the first 20 Bible studies. And the devil will lie to you and say, see, it's not true. And you might even forget that moment. And you might not even have a friend there. But that's your testimony. I was reading this morning in Genesis. And you read the story of Abraham. And God's like, I'm going to do all these great things for you. And he's like, oh, awesome. And he builds an altar. He does it like three times. And then Isaac does it. And then Jacob does it. Here's Jacob, right? I'm going to call him a young person. He's probably a little bit older at this point. But he's on his way out. Jacob is to go away from his parents because he just got his brother really mad. And he goes to take a sleep. And God reveals himself in a vision. Like very powerfully. And he says, I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Now that's God encountering you, right? Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. What an awesome place this is. There is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And then he went on and just lived his life and totally forgot about it and was distracted by all the fun things. No. He said, this moment is so important that early in the morning, I'm going to take a stone that was near my head and I'm going to set it up as a marker. I'm going to remember this moment. This is my testimony. God spoke to me. And so later on, when the devil is coming to lie to me, when the world is not working the way I want it to be, when my life is not going perfectly and things are not awesome, I'm going to recall that testimony. I don't know if you have one testimony or 20 testimonies. My challenge to you tonight, young people, write them down. Write them in your hearts. Remember them. Don't forget them. That is your testimony that God gave you. Because if you forget them, you don't have them. Because I'll tell you right now, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. And if you do not have something to stand on, yes, you go to church. Yes, you worship. Yes, you read God's word. But if you don't remember those moments, you don't even have to worry about witnessing to other people. You don't even got to worry about witnessing to your friends because you won't be around them. God's given you a testimony. I want to have everybody stand. And before we have an altar call, I'd like all the seniors. I think there's just three of you here tonight, but if you're a high school senior, there's four. Oh, Cassie. Cassie, too. Cassie, Margaret, Clayton, and Ryan. Could you come to the front? Right here in the middle. Stay about 2 or 3 feet off the edge. Kyle and Alicia, would you come down? What we want to do is we want to pray for these seniors. A couple specific things, church. We want to pray that God continues to direct them and lead them. That God reminds them of the testimony he has given them, but that it doesn't stop there. You're building testimonies. You're building literal altars along your path that you can always see and always go back to. Brother Josh, I don't know if you're prepared for this, but would you come down as well? Josh and Jenny lead our Hyphen and CMI group ministry. I want to have them come down. And then, awesome. And Sister Rachel, would you come down? I know you have a child. I know. It's okay. You could bring her down too. It's okay. Oh, it's her baby. Okay, well, that's fine. These youth are all old enough that they've experienced a couple youth leaders. James and Rachel were their youth leader for many years. And now Kyle and Alicia and Josh and Jenny are here. So what I'd like to do is as a church, can we, and other youth members, let's have you gather around too. We're going to first pray for these youth, and then we're going to pray for each other. Okay? So let's pray that God leads and guides these youth. and that he reminds them of their testimony. Let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus, for these youth, God. Thank you for what you are doing and have done in their lives. Lord, thank you for the testimony that you have already created, God, in their lives. God, Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide them, God, that you would direct them, that you would make their path straight, that you would make their path clear, God. In whatever path they're going, God, let you be there with them. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would remind them right now, God, in Jesus' name, of the testimonies, Lord, of the times you have reached down and spoken into their lives, the times you have reached down and done something wonderful in their lives, God, in a situation, the times, Lord, that you have spoken to them through your word, God. God, bring that to memory right now, God. Let them leave tonight and write it down, God. Let them claim this, God, through their journey. God, as you create more testimonies, as they create more altars, God, little reminders of the things you have done, God. Lord, let us never forget so that we are not sifted as wheat by the devil, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, of an anointing, God, a blessing over these seniors as they go forth, God. Let them never forget the testimony that they have, the testimony that you are doing in them, God, and the testimonies they will have. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And now, of all the youth, let's just, church, let's come to the front. A little different altar call tonight. I preach baby dedications. I preach Father's Day. I preach Mother's Day. I get all the weird ones, right? But I determined long ago that just because it's Mother's Day doesn't mean God can't speak to me. Just because it's a baby dedication doesn't mean God can't speak to me. God has something for all of us here. God wants to remind everybody here of the little altars that maybe you didn't create along the way, but God was still there speaking to you. So tonight, let's all pray together. Let's pray for each other. Youth, let's pray for each other. Let's pray that God would remind us of his testimonies, of the things he's done in our lives. Adults, you too, let's pray. God, I pray, Lord, for everyone here tonight. God, thank you for the things you've done in my life and for the lives of the people here, God. For the times, God, where you moved and you spoke and you changed, God, but I didn't notice and I kept on walking, God. Bring them to memory, God. God, Lord, let your word and your experiences and your testimony be more powerful in my mind, God, than this world. To be more powerful in my mind than the lies of the devil, God. God, Lord, I pray for every heart here, God, that you would change it, that you would touch it, that you would remind them, God, of who you are and what you've done in their life. God, Lord, let their testimony be first for them. Let their testimony be first for them, an altar, God, that they put down and remember, God, that they can look back to, God. Touch every person in this building, God. Help us to see who you really feel we are. Help us to remember who you really think we are. Awesome.
Oh, my life, you have been.
right. Let's thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for doing things in my life. I love that song that Sister Abby just sang. Because if you're singing it and just saying the words, that's one thing. But if you're singing it and trying to remember, look at the times God was good to me. Look at all the times he's been faithful. And you start thinking of those things, it's hard to get caught up in the struggles of today. Well, he's been faithful before. He'll be faithful again. At the end of Genesis 28, after Jacob takes the stone, he makes a vow and he says, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey, if he provides me with food to eat and clothing to wear, and if I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. Youth, don't look for a mountaintop. Don't look for a fire. Don't look for some grandiose fireworks display moment. All Jacob needed was, well, he spoke to me. I'm just going to go. He's going to watch over me. He's going to be with me. He's going to give me food and clothing. And I'll return safely. And he'll be my God. This is my challenge to all the youth and the adults. And I'm going to do it too. Although I do it a lot because it's awesome. Sometime in the next 48 hours, maybe before. This is just between you. I don't read anywhere here that anybody was there. Jacob didn't, maybe somebody was. I don't know. Maybe in a different version, maybe. But it doesn't mention it. This was between him and God that he made this altar. In the next 48 hours, I'm not going to check on you. Don't check on each other else. Find a piece of paper. Sit quietly. And try to write down, youth, two or three, times where God spoke to you. God moved in your life. God did something for you. Not, hey, well, you know, Pastor Peter spoke one time, it was a good message, you know. I'm not making fun of any of these. You know, no, but you could be speaking to by God's word, but I'm saying where God specifically, directly spoke to you alone. It meant something to you that it didn't make to somebody else. So in the next 40 hours, try that. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to get a white piece of paper and you're going to sit there and go, and so pray, God, show me, remind me. He'll bring them to remembrance. He didn't do it as an accident. He didn't do it because he was just having fun. So that's my challenge. And then lastly, on a less somewhat serious note, September 22nd is See You at the Pool. I didn't come up here intending to say this, but I'm going to be at the pool on September 22nd. I'm going to be there at whatever educational institution my daughters are at. We're going to be there. Youth, try it. You might be alone. You might have some weird dad with his two daughters show up and pray with you. Who knows? But it's awesome to see what you guys are doing. Go forth and do good things. God bless.